my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Phelps. My co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, it's a special week because it's my pick. What are we going to review?
Well, Dave, you have picked a movie which I have never seen in its entirety. I think I've seen little snippets. And we're going back to 1986. This one is Sigourney Weaver, and it's a James Cameron movie, Dave. This is Aliens, which is the sequel to the original Alien. So, where do you remember watching this one, Dave?
Well, came out in 86. I was 10 then, so obviously I wasn't going to the cinema to watch it. Alien, though, had been... I'd heard it discussed, you know, with your parents and kind of uncles and stuff like that. So, you know, this Alien movie was kind of a big deal, I remember, at the time. And so it was one of those, you know, from the video shop, stuck onto a blank scotch tape. And then, hey presto, we had a copy of it. That must have been about 87, 88. So it's probably still a little bit too young to be watching it, but... It's the 80s, no one gives a crap. So yeah, just remember getting it on video, watching it over and over. Now, I was convinced this was a horror movie, whereas when I watch it now, it's kind of like, it's a bit of horror, but it's more a kind of action movie, really. But at the time, I felt like quite grown up because I could watch it and I wasn't shit scared of it like I was when I watched the likes of Hellraiser and Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. So I just remember really, really enjoying it. So this is probably one that, I don't know, have I watched hundreds of times, but at least tens of times, lots of times as a kid, periodically. I've got it on, I've got a digital copy. In fact, I've got all the Aliens, all the Predators, all on digital copy. And yeah, definitely one of my favourites, Chris. Now, we know from last week you haven't watched it, but I mean, what is your exposure to this one?
Well, my cousin, who I always go on about, who loves Blade Runner, Indiana Jones, Alien, Aliens, was always banging on Dave. And I think a lot of it with Alien and Aliens was because I'm a coward and a bit of a shithouse. So when it comes to these horror movies, they're not my wheelhouse at all. I always used to avoid them. It just didn't do anything for me. You know, obviously, Terminator, the original Terminator, is a little bit of a horror movie, really, isn't it? You've got the action, but you've got that want and drive of the Terminator that just won't stop. And it just never appealed to me at all. I must say, you know, watching it now, Sigourney Weaver, Trailblazer, to actually have a proper female lead in both films, Dave, absolutely brilliant, especially in the 80s. But it just never appealed to me. Sorry.
Yeah, in the first one, she isn't as much of a lead. You know, there's a number of crew, and she's just one of the crew. Yeah. And I think it was James Cameron who really made, you know, a play to bring her back and really make her the star. So,
right, okay.
So she is, and I think, Chris, she remains one of the top kick-ass female characters in all of moviedom. And especially when you look at, you know, this is a mid-80s movie when those are short, you know, few and far between. But even now, I don't think you've got many people who are as kick-ass as Ripley.
No, and I think if you say Sigourney Weaver, nobody thinks, hang on, three men and a baby. I know she went in three men and a baby. What am I talking about, Dave? You know, you don't think Ghostbusters, sorry. And then she'd filmed that before this, obviously, in between the original one and then the first Ghostbusters. The second one came after this. But no, it just never appealed to me. And I think because my cousin used to force it down us and go, right, we're watching this. And I'd be like, I'm not watching it. I'd go and hide somewhere because I was 86. So he probably had this in about 87. I would have been 9. So I'm like, I'm not watching this. Absolute, you know, shit. I hated Freddy Krueger, as you know. Nightmare on Elm Street used to petrify me. So this was never, and it's never anything I've ever gone back to. Now, I will say, I really enjoy the Alien v Predator movies. I know some of them, like people slate them, but I did enjoy them. And that's so bizarre that I've never really got into the original ones. Yeah, I didn't mind them. Honestly, I didn't mind him.
I mean, the second one is a weird... It goes, like, into a slasher movie,
Yeah, it does.
Like. I think Requiem is pretty bad. But I thought the first one was okay.
First one's like... It's the first one where they're in, like, the pyramids and stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen both of them, and I didn't mind it. So I don't know why, really, as I've got older, I've never gone back on them. It just never appealed to me, unfortunately. And I'm sort of pleased that we've done this now, because it sort of ticks another movie off the list, Dave. And we're getting fucking closer to the stupid Goonies as well, Dave, which I really don't want to review. Fucking hate that movie. I've seen bits of that loads of times.
How do you hate it? You haven't even watched it yet.
I hate it, Dave. You want me to tell you why I hate it, Dave? This is more serious. Because when I was a teenager and I was a little bit chubby, I always used to get people saying, why don't you do the truffle shuffle, Dave? So it always put me off the movie. I'm like, I'm not fucking watching it because I don't look anything like that kid. You know what I mean? Boy, it's there. You know, one of your mates to do it in PE or something, you're getting your shirt off. Oh, yeah, I can do the truffle shuffle. And I'd be like, I'd want to fucking chin him or something. So I think that's subconsciously why I've never really enjoyed that, watching that movie, even though I've seen little snippets of it.
It's all coming out now.
The bastards, Dave. I'm scarred for life, but yeah, no, it is.
Well, we're definitely going to have to cover Austin Powers 2, aren't we? Although that was obviously 90s, wasn't it? So awesome, Chris. Now, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study. Not to bring back, but to wipe them out.
That's the plan.
All right, people, on the ready line. Iron me! Yeah! Iron me! Yeah! Where are you? You on the ready line, Ray? Get down to die! Get on the ready line!
Talk to me, Hudson!
I got signals. I got readings in front and behind.
There's nothing back here.
Look, I'm telling you, there's something moving and it ain't us.
Get them out of there!
They cut the power.
How could they cut the power, man? They're animals.
There's movement all over the place. 5 meters, man. 4.
Aliens. This time, it's war.
Ellen Ripley has been in stasis for 57 years in an escape shuttle after destroying her ship, the Nostromo, to escape a lethal alien creature which slaughtered her crew. She is rescued and debriefed by her employers at the Weyland-Yutani Corporation, who are sceptical about her claim of alien eggs in a derelict ship on the Exomoon LV-426. Since it is now the site of a terraforming colony, Hadley's hope. After contact is lost with the colony, Carter Burke and Colonial Marine Lieutenant Gorman ask Ripley to accompany them to investigate. Still traumatized from her alien encounter, she agrees on the condition that they exterminate the creatures. Ripley is introduced to the Colonial Marines, an android bishop. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this one?
Well, obviously we get them waking and finding Ripley. They say in this stasis. Paul Reese, whatever he's called, is Jeffrey in Beverly Hills Cop, Dave. So I know him really well. Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. I remember him watching him. Is it My Two Dads as well? I think he was in towards the late 80s, a sitcom. So I know, I've seen him in loads of things. He always plays the same sort of character. Nice guy. He obviously comes to see her in a dream. Then she starts having the alien coming through her stomach. And I'm thinking, obviously I've never seen it, but I'm thinking, she's not getting killed off, is she? But
it's a quick movie.
It's a quick movie, yeah. And then he's in the film, though. So it's like she has a dream about him coming in. Obviously, I realise watching it as we further go on, she's been there for a few days, hasn't she, or weeks or whatever, and she keeps having these recurring nightmares, so that's why. But look, I didn't know what to expect, and I'll be honest with you, Dave, I actually quite enjoyed it because I think the effects still stand up. You know, I don't think there's anything too bad. You got Kyle Reese there, Dave, looking like he's took a few tips from Arnie. He's looking pretty buff there, Michael Byrne or Bean, whatever he's called.
Yeah.
Brilliant. You've got, obviously, Dave, when I said this to you, dinner all along, we had to do this movie because it's got that line in from our theme tune that you didn't realise was in it. Yeah. Anyway, but no, I think he starts pretty strong. And I don't think, even though it's 35 years ago this movie came out, I don't think it's aged that bad, to be honest. And I think it goes along at a steady pace. Sigourney Weaver's great in it. I think she's really pretty in this, Dave, I must admit. And I think, you know, even though she's got the old Kevin Keegan haircut going on, she has it all chopped and that. I think it's a good movie. I think it just starts really well and it just gets stronger as the movie goes on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously it's been digitally touched up, hasn't it? Remastered. I think it looks fantastic. Now, James Cameron did this one. He was picking up, you know, this franchise from Ridley Scott. He'd created this, you know, and the whole look to it. I'm sure at some point we'll go back and watch that one as well. But I seem to remember that one. It's more tense. It's more about the build-up and the tension. There's basically one alien, and then it wipes out the whole crew. So what I think Cameron does brilliantly here is he expands the universe. He, you know, when they talk about world building and stuff, you know, basically we'd introduced one alien with massive consequences, you know, decimated the whole crew. And that here, you've got like fucking hundreds of the bastards, you know, and you've got this introduction of like the queen later on in the end. And so he is building out this universe, but without making it feel like it, that's what he's doing. I just think it's really good. I think the effects, the practical effects, there's a great documentary, you can get it on YouTube, about all the trouble they had with getting all the various things to work, like the queen, like the kind of, what is it, the mechanical thing that she uses to fight the queen, whatever it's called.
Like a mech suit. It's a mech suit in it, I think.
Right, okay. But and you've almost got like a Batmobile there as well, haven't you? You know, carrying all the troops and everything. But I love the way it kicks off. You know, you get that introduction, you get a very quick kind of reminder of what she's been through. Like I say, with that whole dream sequence. And, you know, you get corporate little snivelling git in his suit. And so even if you've not seen it before, you're thinking, well, he's probably up to no good. But then it's when they get introduced to the Marines. I think there are so many great lines in here, you know. And Bill Paxton, this is one of my favourite roles for him. Although, to be honest, if I was in a crack Marine squad, I don't think I'd want him on my team, because they're all like talking really big, aren't they? Talking really tough, and they're talking about this xenomorph and everything. And then you've got, you know, the one girl who's like, just tell me where they are and where I need to shoot, kind of thing. And then when they actually encounter them, they're like, fucking hell, run! <You know>?
It's very true, that, Dave. The Mexican girl is brilliant. She's tough as nails. But Bill Paxton's the right shithouse. Vasquez, isn't it? It's the Mexican. She's really good.
That's it, yeah.
But Hudson, Bill Paxton, he's the right shithouse, isn't he? It's like proper, like, oh my God, we're doomed. It's like the fucking guy off Dad's Army. We're doomed, Captain Mannering.
Game over.
And, yeah, that's exactly. And before it, they're like, you know, Paul Reiser's character, Carter's, you know, he's saying, yeah, I can guarantee your safety. And as soon as they come out of like stasis, and what makes laugh though, Dave, the fucking leader there, the captain, comes out of stasis and puts a fucking cigar straight in his mouth. You know what I mean? Typical cliche 80s fucking captain of the team, you know, Hannibal Smith job. It's all cliched stuff as well. It really is. And they're questioning Ripley, aren't they? Because the thing is, Ripley's had this sit down with like the board and they're all got suit and tie on. I've got to say, Dave, it's all set in space, but they've all got nice fucking tailored suits on and that. And she's chatting to him and she's saying like, you know, you need to go. And they're like, well, we've had people on this colony for 20 years. And she's like, doesn't matter. Where and families and they don't believe her. They call it bullshit. They say like they can believe part of the story because of the space, like the ship's log. But then literally in the next scene when she's asleep with the cat, that Riser guy, Carter, comes to her and just goes, we need you to go on thingy. She's like, this thing's there. You want us to kill him, don't you? And I'm like, hang on. There's a bit of a leap here because nobody believed the girl like 5 minutes early. But I mean, time's supposed to have moved on, aren't they? Because he says, oh, you're working on some shipping thing and you're on forklift trucks and everything and all this. So I think there's a bit of time. She's had a haircut and that. So he doesn't tell you the timescale. We're supposed to believe that she's been doing this job and staying out of trouble and everything. Mm. But it just seems too convenient. Like we've lost contact with the colony. You know, we just want you to go on there. And she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. So that did seem a bit of a far-fetched, but look, me far-fetched, Dave, come on, I'm fucking talking out my arse out, really, considering the nature of the film. But I do think what I like about this is the baddies. So we in the first one, I've never seen it at all, really, I don't think. But I always remember, you always see the picture of the alien, but they're not the alien, it's the queen alien that you meet, isn't it? She's the one who fucking runs everything. They're just a kid sort of thing, the big fuckers, and they can kill you, but the queen is the one. So we don't see any of that leading up to it. But I do think it's the full cat and mouse thing. These question marks over the girl, though, Dave, let's be honest. This fucking kid that when they get on the ship, yeah, it's questionable how she survived for fucking however many years she's been in there.
I don't know if it's, well, I suppose it could be years, let's say months. I mean, she's stealthy, she's managed to avoid the aliens. I think you just have to kind of go with it, you know, because these aliens are, well, they're pretty good fucking hunters, aren't they? But she's managed to avoid them for this bit. And I thought that was really good, actually. I thought it was an interesting way to show a different side to Ripley. And even like the Marines kind of took her under their wing as well. I thought it just added a slightly different dynamic, whereas it's just all kind of adults, you know, mostly soldiers. I remember as a kid, I didn't really care for her character at all. But then, you know, I think she does a decent job. Just you know, putting a child into that environment where you got these bloodthirsty, murderous aliens, and you know, at one point she's gonna get fucking impregnated by the little face hugger. I think, you know, it does, you know, it increases the stakes, I think. And I just love that line that we put in our outro. I just love it. They mostly come out at night. Mostly. I don't know why. I think it's a great, great line. And obviously she is as British as they come. And I thought it's slightly unbelievable that she'd survive, but I can go with it.
But also, that's a great point you've just made. So they're in space. How does anybody know what's fucking night and day, Dave?
Well, they're on a planet though, aren't they? So the planet will have kind of, you know, day and night, you know, cycles. If it's near a star. Yeah. So that's the whole concept of terraforming a planet. You're taking a planet and then you're trying to, you know, make sure the atmosphere is breathable.
Oh, he says that, doesn't he?
Yeah. You've got a colony there. So you're basically readying it for a larger community. It's all just colonizing planets, isn't it?
Right, I'm going to shut up, Dave, because that was a ridiculous statement I just said. You've just educated me. What a bell end.
No, it's all right. People out there listening might not. I mean, we know you don't like sci-fi. Like, this type of sci-fi. No, I wasn't going to do the whole... I wasn't going to rattle off the 20 that you do like.
That I love, yeah.
You know, the space exploration type of sci-fi. That's what you don't like. But, I mean, you'd mentioned about the sergeant. He's played by Al Matthews, but fucking hell, I thought for a minute there it was Steve James from American Ninja.
Yeah, the moustache.
He's got the tash, the same tash. He's got the cigar and everything. And I just love the banter between, you know, all of them. You've got like Paxton and he's Hudson, and he's saying to Vasquez, isn't he? You know, have you ever been mistaken for a man? And then straight away she's like, no, have you? It's a fucking brilliant line. And the banter between them all. They're getting Bishop to do the old trick with the knife, you know, on Hudson's hand. I think there are so many iconic bits, and apparently all this stuff where they're all having dinner and, you know, all the banter's flowing and everything, that was all filmed right at the end, you know, so they quite often they'll shoot things out of sequence. But James Cameron wanted them all to kind of have that camaraderie, and I think it really comes through in this dinner scene.
Yes, yeah, I think so. I think it all comes together because, look, this movie was made around about the same time as, like, Predator and that as well, wasn't it? It was maybe just before it, but it's got that overture like an Arnie film, hasn't it? I know James Cameron's, you know, on this, he doesn't do Predator, but it all works. And I will say, like, I have this big thing of, like, these closed, claustrophobic space, you know, films. I don't know what it is. And I think it may come from, maybe I have seen Alien, Dave, and maybe if we reviewed it at some point, I might say, actually, you know what, I've seen it, I just can't remember, but I just never like him. I always find him, like, even Star Trek, fucking rubbish. You just sat on a ship going, oh my God, let's just do this, Captain fucking Kirk. And they never see him, even when we did Wrath of Khan, which was sort of a bit of a weird, I didn't mind it, but even then I'm like, they're all old duffers just flying a ship, basically, sat in a cockpit while they've got everyone around. It never sits with me. Whereas, you know, I love Star Wars. I am a complete hypocrite when it comes to movies. You know, last week, Death Warrant, I sent it to Cloud City. I'm sure there's not one person listened to it sent that to Cloud City. But I am all over the place when it comes to what I like and what I don't like. However, it was interesting to watch this now and go, you know what? It's actually not a bad movie. And it's not how I imagined it. And I think you did tee me up before because you said, I think you're going to enjoy it because it's more action. There's not really any jump scares with it. It's more, I love the guns, Dave, I've got to say. The fucking guns kick ass. Yeah. They're massive sort of M16 submachine guns they've got and everything. They're ace, honestly. Assault rifles.
LED showing you how many rounds it's got left.
Exactly. And that where I know one of my favourite game series is Halo. The new one's out in a few weeks. And they have that you see first-person shooter. Every time the bullets are fired, you see the number clock down from, I think it's 36 or 24, and it clocks down. But let me just say something very quickly. You talk about sci-fi films, Dave. I watched an hour of Dune, right, yesterday, and that has got 5-star ratings across the board on everywhere. It was a fucking bore fest. I don't know whether it gets better or not, but I found it so boring. You've got Poe Dameron there, and I don't think he's a great actor, Oscar Isaac. You've got Dave Bautista, Jason Momoa. You've got a finger there, Thanos. I just kept laughing at Josh Brolin thinking he was just going to click his fingers. But I just found it utterly boring. It was like watching Attack of the Clones. You know, when you saw the federal fucking whatever it is and they're doing all them stupid like parliament meetings.
Trade blockades.
The trade stuff and that. It just didn't get going for me. And the young kid, Paul, I know it was based on a book, which was also, I knew the computer game from like the early 80s and it was remade on like the Amigas and stuff. So I knew that it was based on a computer game, but then I read it was based on a book. And the young lad, Paul, is the one who are to read is or something. But it could be one of the best sci-fi movies ever, but I found it fucking boring. And me and Sam are like, we're going to have to go back because I didn't say anything. And I'm watching it thinking, this is shit. And then she's watching it. And all of a sudden, we ended up watching the Sopranos prequel, Dave, which wasn't amazing.
It's interesting how you're doing that when it's only just out in the cinema.
Yeah, I don't know myself, Dave. Next, anyway, Dave, let's move on into the film, Dave. Interesting stuff. Interesting. They were showing all sorts at the local Odeon near us, Dave. But anyway, let's move on.
And you just decided to walk out of the cinema.
Into another cinema. Because if you remember, I did do that with Hobbs and Shaw. I went into what's Hobbs and Shaw, and walked in and the Lion King was on and we'd gone in screen 7, but the ticket was crumpled and it should have been 17. But anyway, Dave, let's move on from that revelation. So, but no,
Dune was a big inspiration for Star Wars. There's a lot of things they took out from there. Now, I have to hold my hands up here. I tried reading the book, but fuck me, you just lose who all the characters are. It's almost like a cross between Star Wars and Game of Thrones. You know, there's so many characters in it. And so I suspect, I've not watched it yet, but I suspect it is just a world-building movie. And yeah. Remember when we watched, like, Alita Battle Angel for Comics in Motion? And I'm sure we said at the time, it's like, well, they're so focused on the sequels, they've forgotten to really stick the landing on the first movie. And so I would be very surprised if it saw any sequels. I think it was a financial flop in the end. But I mean, Dune is probably already signed off for the sequels there.
I can see that
you wouldn't get on with that sort of movie where it's very slow. It's like a lot of political intrigue and stuff and, you know, moisture farmers.
But it's called Spice as well. Spice is the thing that keeps everyone alive. Yeah, and you're thinking, fucking hell, how apt is that in the UK when every fucking drug you go in is on Spice, unfortunately. On most of the homeless people in the UK are. And you know what? It's so funny you said that Dune was the inspiration for Star Wars, because I tell you what, fucking George Lucas pulled off a fast one here, because literally this one thing that goes on in this movie from the start, and Dave, Lucas has just ripped the Force from it, but everyone will say that Star Wars came first because it is literally the Force. I'm telling you, you've got to watch it. And I was sat there going, well, this is just Star Wars, isn't it really? Mm. Fucking George Lucas is absolutely done in there.
I'm pretty sure most people know, I think, that Dune came first. They did a film, didn't they? I remember trying to watch that. It had Sting in it. I might go back to watch that at some point. But the books were definitely first. And I'm not the first person to say Star Wars lifted a lot from Dune. But anyway, Chris, I guess the first real skirmish with the aliens comes when they interesting storytelling device, they have to take all of the magazines off them because they're going to blow up the damn ship, which again Ripley is the only one there. And I thought the bit where basically the colonel or whoever he is, the captain, the person in charge of the mission, is a bit of a wet lettuce. You know, he's done a few drops and then he's only done 2 combat drops, you know, including this one. And then Ripley, you know, the team are in trouble, they're getting decimated by the aliens, and Ripley just takes charge, doesn't she? She takes over the combat vehicle, drives in there, rescues people. You can see, you know, the guys were completely overrun by the aliens, and I thought it was a brilliant action scene. And that was the first bit, I think, in this movie where you're thinking, fuck me, Ripley is just absolutely a badass.
Yeah, because the guys have already said, like, oh, who's this? You know, oh, she's seen an alien. And it's like, yeah, hang on a sec. She just fucking takes names. She's the strongest character in the movie, other than Dwayne Hicks, who's obviously Michael Biehn. I was calling Byrne, but is it Biehn, Dave? I was calling Byrne.
I don't know. I've heard both. Yeah, Byrne.
Yeah, I'm going to keep calling Michael Byrne, but Michael Byrne, he's a tough guy in it as well, isn't he? He ends up being in charge. He's the corporal, because that Carter's trying to sort of say, we're going to do this, and they're like, no, we're blowing this whole thing up. Ripley's going, you've got to blow it all up. That's it. This is millions. Yeah. She's like, well, charge me. But honestly, I really enjoyed it. And some of the intense scenes when they were like running down the little narrow corridors. They're almost like Willy Wonka type corridors, and they're fucking there crawling, and they're on the knees and fucking everything. It's good. It is. It's really good. And I do think, like you say, the one-liners come into it, this load of smart-ass stuff. But I was in awe, Dave. Like you say, all right, it's been touched up and everything. It must have been, because it was a great version that I've seen. It's on Disney Plus. It's really, really good. But it just worked. It's a really, really good movie for me. I was pleasantly surprised watching it. And there wasn't one bit where I was like, I can't wait. And it goes on for 2 hours 15, so it's not a short movie, but it didn't, it didn't matter. It just flew for me. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And I think the aliens look great. You know, some of the lighting, you know, James Cameron had a lot of trouble with the British film crew. It was all filmed at Pinewood, this.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot of people on board, on the Brit side, who wanted to make it very light, you know, make it look a bit like Doctor Who kind of thing, you know, from the 80s. And James Cameron, you know, he absolutely had that vision. He wanted it darker, grittier. And I think you've got to respect the guy's vision for this, because I still think it looks absolutely fantastic. And after this initial skirmish, and like you say, when Hicks is told in no uncertain terms, you know, he's just a grunt.
A grunt,
and he's like,
yeah.
No offense. And he's like, none taken. Let's blow this fucking thing up. But the alien gets on board the ship, doesn't he? Or she, don't know if the alien is a he or a her. And so that's when you get the iconic line where, you know, the ship crashes. You get Hudson saying, game over, man, game over. And then you've got the guy like, let's build a fire. Let's sing a couple of songs, huh? And that's where I was thinking in particular, it's like, fucking hell, Hudson would be the worst person to have around. He's like, you know what, I think we can rescue this situation. Nah, we're fucked. But I mean, when they go back, you know, and it really steps up a notch where, you know, the evil corporate bastard, you know, releases a couple of the facehuggers to try and impregnate Ripley and Newt. And I thought that scene was particularly creepy.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. And the face things are fucking horrible, Dave, aren't they? Horrible.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll hold my hands up. You know, I didn't realise James Cameron was the director of this until I started reading up on it. That's so bad. That shows how much interest I've had in this franchise, Dave. You know, Terminator and everything. So he's made some amazing movies, and especially sci-fi. That is his ballpark, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, and I know I've read some of that, and I'm sure you've read it, and people listening have, but a lot of people compared Sigourney Weaver to Stallone, didn't he? Rambo. So, like, she was the female version of Rambo sort of thing at the time because of the hair and everything, and she was kick-ass. And she must have been the inspiration for Linda Hamilton to get in shape for Terminator 2, Dave, you know, as Sarah Connor, because Sigourney Weaver just looks totally badass in this. They don't make her look weak, yeah, at all. She has real... What I like about her character, she has proper mental toughness. It's not just... There's a couple of times where she's jumping a bit, but it's not just, like... You know, the way they build them up, like Sarah Connor is over the films. She's got this toughness from the beginning, hasn't she? That even the guys who, you know, like physically they might look more imposing than her, but when it comes to the thing, she's the one who's going to run through a brick wall for everyone.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting about Cameron. I don't know enough about him, but I know watching the Aliens documentary, he came across to me like he'd be a bit of an arsehole to work for, you know. And so I'm surprised it's not come out that, you know, he's a bit of a Joss Whedon, you know, and he's just people have been upset with him. You know, if you're not pulling your weight or doing what he thinks you should be doing, he will absolutely fire you. But again, you kind of have to hold your hands up and say, for this one, it just looks amazing. And like I say, if you watch the first one, Alien, Sigourney Weaver isn't the star of the show, she's just part of the crew. And so, you know, it's really him that kind of defined that character, took it forward from where she was in Alien. And yeah, like I say, you ended up with Terminator 2. I mean, I guess 2 years before Aliens, where you had Terminator, Sarah Connor was not the strong character that you start to see in the second one, is she?
No.
She is just a little bit of a... oh, mind you, she doesn't get rescued, does she? She does actually... She's the one who kills off the Terminator, so maybe, I don't know, maybe he should get a bit more credit for being that kind of pioneer, you know, and pushing forward strong female characters.
Yeah, and... You know what, Dave? I must admit, when I was a kid, and we had like the build up to Terminator 2, and you'd see stuff on TV, wouldn't you? You'd see stuff in the papers when they were building, like making it, and you see Arnie and everything. I remember reading about Sarah Connor, and for me, I think I told you so, we did Terminator 2, we nearly got in to see it, and I have told this. Me and my brother got in, who were completely younger than my best mate, and he got told that he didn't look 15, and we were like, you wanker. And he was 6 months older than me. We were both 13, and my brother was 12, and me and our kid were like, right, you're in. And we couldn't get in because of him, then, dick. So we couldn't go and watch it. Well, I've told you the story. But I remember I remember watching a trailer, and I can't think what film I watched around this time, and thinking, the biggest selling point for me, Dave, was Sarah Connor. Because, you know, I knew Arnie. I knew he was this machine. I loved Arnie anyway because I'd been made to love him because of my cousin and all that. But it was wanting to see the transformation of Linda Hamilton, considering how sort of prim and proper she was in the first one, and the fact that she shagged a guy who had fucking shit and piss stained pants today, but a nice pair of trainers on. I was always intrigued to see that. And when I remember seeing a picture of her when she was doing like the press, the pull-ups and that, and her arms looked massive. They must have like touched them up a bit in the paper. She looked huge, and I was like, hell, I've got to see this movie. I don't know why, but for me it was because I started to like get into watching and understanding a bit of bodybuilding even at such a young age. It was really like impressive to see a lady transform, because I'd never really seen any female bodybuilders at that time. So I was absolutely I remember when Demi Moore did it in that one where she's, is it G.I. Jane or whatever, I can't remember the hell it was called, but there was that one. I mean, I did like her in Striptease, I think it was, Dave. That's a different fucking movie completely. She had thighs for days in that, amazing. But anyway, I'll move on, Dave, before I start getting perverted. But there you go.
Too late. Now, when we do get the second, like, big wave of alien attackers, you know, this is where they're within a perimeter, you know, they've kind of barricaded themselves in, but they're getting the readings on the little device. I want to say tricorder, but that's a Star Trek thing. And it's when Hicks looks above, you know, he looks into the roof, and then you just see this wave of aliens coming towards him, and he's like, fucking hell. So again, I thought it was a brilliant bit of action. I thought it was shot really well. And, you know, the aliens take out pretty much everyone there, don't they? Apart from, obviously, Ripley and Newt and Hicks get away. But then pretty much everyone else is decimated.
Yeah, they are, to be fair. And I think, obviously, Lance Henriksen's character, Bishop, when he gets... That's iconic. I've seen that bit before. So Ripley's telling what a great guy he is, and you've done wonderful things. And the next minute, we just get the fucking queen, don't we? Ha-dink! And that is so iconic. But Dave, he'd be dead. And he's there going round. He's lost his legs and everything, and he's still looking round like he's alive. And then obviously he does die. But it's like, it's just weird. There's no blood or anything. There's just this ooze, isn't there, which is off the alien. But that's really gruesome, that.
Well, I'll forgive you this because it is the first time of watching, but a big point in this is the fact that he's an android or a synthetic human, so he isn't a person.
That's
why when, I mean, we skipped out the bit where she actually, you know, she encounters the alien, and again, I would have loved to have been at the cinema, you know, and experience that for the first time, because people hadn't seen this. There was none of this in the first one. So this is part of this building out of the universe, you know, how these aliens actually reproduce. And the queen is there, she's laying all the eggs, and you get this standoff with Ripley, you know, and she's got the flamethrower there. But when Bishop comes and saves the day, and then, like you say, it's a bit of a fake out, isn't it? Because it bursts through his chest and you're thinking, oh, he's been impregnated. And then you're like, oh shit, the fucking queen was a stowaway. And he's spitting out, it's all this like white fluid, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's because he's an android. He's not actually a human. And that's why they've stuffed him in the bag later. You know, so I think that's how he's going to survive.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, what an obed, Dave. No, I'm there giving it the biggin'. Like, that is ridiculous. And now you've just absolutely shit. People listening are going to be
totally
like, Chris, you're a dick. Well, it just proves the point, doesn't it, that I've never seen the film then, because I would have known that he was an android, Dave. So what a dickhead. But there you go.
I mean, spoilers for the first one. The android goes a bit nuts, bit on a bloodthirsty expedition. And so, you know, initially, when they're having dinner, she's really not happy because there's going to be an android, and you know, she thinks Bishop's the same as the other one that they encountered in the first movie. So again, it's one of those, if you've watched it multiple times, you pick up on little bits of this in the dialogue, but if you're just watching it for the first time, it probably passes you by a little bit.
Fucking hell. That's, you know what, Dave, brilliant. Thank you for that, irrespective of me thinking, oh, you dickhead, Chris. That's the whole point. It proves I've never seen it, so that makes even sense, because I'm sat there going, right, well, this is going in the Chris fucking shit pile of notes for the movie, because there wasn't many, I must admit. No, well, thanks for that. That's perfect. It makes perfect sense as well. So, look, it's one of the movies where I went into it completely thinking I was going to go, Chris, heel turn, let's be the bad guy. You know, this is a disaster. I don't like it. It's terrible. And I come away from it with complete respect, and knowing I've seen the other Alien movies after that, which are worse than this. I do regret it now, Dave. I must admit, all these years later, I do regret the fact that I've never watched it.
Well, it's one of those, isn't it? You can't ever get that back that time. But, I mean, when I finished watching this, I was like, yeah, still brilliant. Still going to be watching this. This is in the regular rotation for me. Again, another iconic line that just puts goosebumps on my arms is when, you know, she comes out in the little mechanical suit thing that you gave me the name of before and I've forgotten already.
A mech suit.
And she's like, get away from her, you bitch. She's just like, yeah, fucking go and get her, you know. And I just think it's just brilliant. And ultimately, you know, she is the hero, you know. Hicks there, Michael Biehn, you know, is passed out. So, you know, he got kind of squirted by a bit of alien acid. And so, you know, she saves him. And, yeah, I just think it's brilliant.
It is good. It's really good, Dave. So, shall we get into our review scores, Dave?
Let's go.
Dave, I'm interested. I'm going to let you go first. I know I've gone first a few times, but I'm interested to see what you think and what you're saying about this one.
Well, I'm pretty sure I watched this last year in lockdown at some point. I don't know if there's many years that have gone by when I haven't watched this. But you know what I haven't watched it on? I haven't watched it on my fucking massive TV. And so I just think this looks brilliant. I think the just having that crisp, high-definition look. And, you know, fuck knows how they do it, Chris, because it would have been all shot on film. So I have no idea how they do this stuff. But it just looks amazing. I think the pacing of the movie is really good. I think, you know, you consider the amount of movies that we've looked at from, you know, the mid-80s. Very few of them stand up as well as this, I think. I think if this comes out at the cinema tomorrow, I don't know what you would look at it and go, oh, that hasn't dated very well. You know, I did poke a little bit of fun about this bloodthirsty crack team of Marines and how they go to shit as soon as they meet the aliens, the xenomorphs. That does make me chuckle a bit. But, you know, I'm not marking it down for that. I think this is a cloud city for me all day long, Chris. I just absolutely love it. A common question people ask is, well, do you prefer this one or do you prefer Alien? And I do really like Alien as well, but it's a very different movie to this. It's very suspenseful, and it's all about that first encounter that they have and, like, not knowing what's going on and dealing with that, whereas this is just absolute balls-to-the-wall action, and I love it. So, yeah, Cloud City all day long for me, Chris.
Well, for me, I've been thinking, I'm in an hour since I watched it, like, let it digest. What do I think? I think it's really good. Definitely something, as I said just a minute ago, I'm going to regret. without a doubt. If you're not watching this before, really enjoyed it. Sigourney Weaver's just badass. I think the cast supports it well. Even though some of them, you know, are going to be fodder within the movie, it's also that they support everything about her, and there's a bit of mystique about Ripley, and obviously it's 57 years later, so it's a completely different world for her. And also, Dave, I believe there's a bit in the movie, and I must have missed that, where her daughter appears. That's actually Sigourney Weaver's mum in real life.
Okay. So that's in the special edition.
So I didn't think I'd seen that. I just read it in the
movie. Yeah. So, I mean, on Disney Plus, like in the UK, because we've said this before, haven't we? So in the UK, we get Star included as part of Disney Plus because we've got no Hulu. So I'm not sure where they'd watch it in the US, but it's the theatrical cut on that. Whereas in the special edition, you know, basically you see Ripley, she's grown, or her daughter has grown old and died. And so, you know, Ripley has to experience that loss, that grief. And so it kind of gives more weight to the relationship she has later on with Newt.
Yes.
So I don't quite know why they took it out, but obviously they were probably just trying to take things out for time, maybe. But I think, yeah, I don't think you necessarily need to watch the special edition, but like I say, it's got a few little extra bits like that.
Good stuff. And that makes sense because I didn't think I'd seen that. But anyway, really enjoyed it. Great movie. I think it stands up really well, irrespective of it being the Disney Plus, probably touched up version. I think the aliens still look scary, menacing. That whole claustrophobic, you know, cat and mouse. Are they going to get away? And obviously we know somebody's got to get away because it's a hero movie, Dave. Whatever we think of it, sci-fi, whatever, there's a hero within this. So, you know, Ripley saves the day. She fights. I mean, I must admit, at the mech suit thing, I was thinking, well, why don't the alien just go right down the middle and stab you right in the face? But for some reason, the alien was attacking its arms and everything, and just Ripley seemed to, you know, come out of it unscathed in that little battle. But it was the only way to even the score because the queen alien was so big and monstrous. I really, really enjoyed it. I think I'm going to put it to the top of Hill Valley. Great movie. I'm pleased we've watched it, and it is one to take off the list, Dave, so thank you. And it's definitely going to be higher than fucking Goonies, Dave, so there you go.
Well, could have been better, could have been worse. I like I say, I had a feeling that you might like this one a little bit more because it's more military, it's more action-based than like a space adventure, Star Trek style. But Chris, you mentioned about Goonies there. So next week is a Patreon pick, and it is Math. And he had three choices that he was mulling over, and one of them was Goonies. And he's held off because he doesn't want to be the person to have you to suggest Goonies and then have you shit all over it. So you get a stay of execution for that for a while. The other one was Con Air. I think we both talked about that one a few times, haven't we? The iconic Nick Cage mullet has got to be covered at some point. But Chris, instead of that, we are going to look at a movie called Enemy Mine. And it does have Dennis Quaid in, and it is a sci-fi movie, Chris, and I am less confident about that one.
I've seen the trailer, so much.
I've got a feeling you might enjoy this one a little bit less than Aliens, but let's see. And for the meantime, let's get into the trailer.
Marooned on a desolate planet, he is a soldier. Alone with his enemy.
Don't you understand English, toad face? I don't love you and you don't love me. We're strangers, you understand?
His suspicion will change to tolerance.
You saved my life. Why?
I need to look at another face, even as ugly as yours.
Tolerance will lead to friendship.
We should open up a little place here.
I could ruin the food. You could scare away the customers.
And with that friendship will come an overwhelming responsibility.
You must be a parent.
Don't kid around, Jerry.
You must take my place.
Protecting a life he values more than his own. Dennis Quaid, Louis Gossett Jr., Wolfgang Peterson's Enemy Mine.
Well, Dave, let's save what I think till next week, because that trailer is something else, my friend. So big thank you to all our Patreons, and we have a new Patreon as well. So welcome to Paul, and I've sent a message to you, Paul, if you're listening, to tell us what movie you want us to do down the line. So thank you for supporting us, mate. If anyone else wants to support us, patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So today's roll call of honour is Paul, Mark, Carl, Maths, Matt, Heath, Haley, Dylan, Kent, Lucky Lou Green, Herb, Jax, Blake, John Hammond, Brent from the Cinema Chat Podcast, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, everyone, for supporting us. We really, really appreciate it. And it's just so humbling again, Dave, isn't it, to have so many people supporting the show.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And if you do want to follow us on social media, guys, at VHS Strikes Back. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. Now, Dave, obviously I've been away on holiday, been a little bit flaky with the actual, you know, the polls, but I did run a poll this last week, Dave. Now, it was a really interesting one, and I was just going to just get up. Maybe I should have actually had Twitter up before, but what I asked this week was, rather, now this is very important, I'm sure this has crossed people's minds, but the poll was, and it's really, really interesting, is who would win in a dance-off? So the four selections were Walter White, aka Mr. Breaking Bad, Joe Pesci, the actor, not the character Leo gets, but Joe Pesci, Harold Bishop from Neighbours, and Ricky Martin. And Dave, the poll has now finished. I am pleased to announce, Dave, can we have a drum roll, please, that the person who would win in a dance-off is only Harold Bishop, Dave. He got 29% of the votes. Ricky Martin got 28%. Even Ricky Martin's probably a trained dancer. Joe Pesci with 25 and Walter White with 18, Dave. Now, we had a few people calling me out for, and I can only put four names down, and it's always something stupid, but I love Shales's one when he gets a picture of Harold Bishop, because the face of confidence, he's got this and he's there laughing at the camera. It's just brilliant. And then Blake, did you, Dave, as Michael Madden as well, out of Madsen, Pulp Fiction.
That Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs. So it's absolutely just good fun, guys. So I'll try and keep them consistent now that I'm back off holiday. I've got no excuse. So Dave, brilliant. I don't really know this movie. I know a few things, but what are you going to take us out with today? And this is a pretty obvious one, so I'm going to leave it in your hands.
Well, all I'm going to do, Chris, is I'm going to hand over to Private Hudson to take us out with our theme tune that's played for over 100 episodes now, but you'd forgotten about. So Private Hudson, take it away.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad.
Ain't so bad.
You ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6